From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Last year, Hidden Figures, a movie about the black women who worked at NASA in the 1960s, sparked a national conversation about women's contributions to science. But almost 50 years before that story, female scientists like Henrietta Leavitt were already contributing to our understanding of the stars. Now the Commonweal Theater in Lanesboro, Minnesota is highlighting Leavitt's story through a play called Silent Sky. Joining us now to talk about the production and the story behind it is Adrian Sweeney, External Relations Director for the Commonweal and Director of Silent Sky. Adrian, who was Henrietta Leavitt?
Henrietta Leavitt essentially was the person who mapped the stars for us, and she basically, her discoveries proved that there are galaxies outside of ours. At that point in time, we still were wrestling with the idea, is the Milky Way it? Is that all there is? And through her discoveries, she was able to lead us to the discovery that no, in fact, there were many billions upon billions of galaxies outside of ours. She's a very unassuming woman, very brilliant, very smart. She grew up in Massachusetts, and she really pioneered, she forged a path for herself as women were not readily available to, the sciences weren't readily available to women.
What was her role at Harvard? She wasn't necessarily recognized as an astronomer there.
That is correct. She did not actually have an astronomy degree. And the thing that was most compelling about not only Henrietta Leavitt, but Annie Cannon and Wilhelmina Fleming and the fellow, they call them computers, the fellow female computers, much like Hidden Figures. The thing that was so shocking is that they weren't able to access the telescope. The telescopes were off limit. So these women sat in attic rooms at Harvard in the observatory offices, and they studied plates. Images were taken from the telescopes and burnt onto plates, and then these plates, hundreds upon hundreds of plates, were given to these women, and they charted them. They documented the size of the stars, the luminosity of the stars, the proximity of the stars in relationship to each other, and then they filled logbook after logbook after logbook with this information. It's fascinating work. You can actually go online to the Harvard Observatory website and see there are people now who are working tirelessly to digitize these images because they're still on glass plates. So that's what these women did. Henrietta discovered a pattern in the Cepheid stars, the pulsing, which led her to discover that the brighter stars weren't always the closest, and it was that pulsing that led her to her next discoveries, which is known now as Leavitt's Law.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, her discovery at the time, I mean, did scientists recognize it for kind of what it was?
Yes and no. I think, yes, they did recognize that this was monumental, this discovery. But I think even back then, not just because she was a woman, but I think they didn't realize what it was revealing to us. I think it took a couple, 3 years of people digging into this discovery to really put together, piece together what this meant. And I don't think it was necessarily, from what I saw or from what I read in my research, it wasn't necessarily because she was a woman. It was because this was a jaw-dropping discovery, much like Einstein's discovery.
You mentioned Annie Cannon and Wilhelmina Fleming. They are also characters in this show and also women scientists at Harvard.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about them.
Oh, they're just delightful. The thing that's a little bit sad about Henrietta is that very little biographical information exists on her. So much of the play is actually fictionalized. It's gleaned from information that we know, but very little exists biographically about her. Much more exists biographically about Annie Jump Cannon and Wilhelmina Fleming. And in fact, pages upon pages of Wilhelmina Fleming's journals and entries exist, and they are delightful women, just so delightful. It's worth just kind of paging through Wilhelmina's journals just to get to know them a little bit better. And in fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson has an entire episode of his Cosmos series on the women of the Harvard Observatory. And the thing that I find so inspiring and that I love most about the play is how these women really supported each other. There was not very much competition that we're seeing in the journals and the entries left for us. They're very supportive of one another, and they encouraged each other, and their discoveries led to other discoveries from one another. They leapfrogged off of each other. But there was never really a sense of competition or backbiting or backstabbing. It was really a very collaborative kind of posse of female scientists that we see, of course, left over from history.
So Silent Sky, it's a play following mainly Henrietta Leavitt's life by Lauren Gunderson. Mm-hmm. Can you just kind of fill us in on the plot and the storyline?
Well, the plot is, Silent Sky is absolutely beautiful. It is a romance of sorts. It's a love letter to science. Lauren Gunderson is an incredibly bright woman, and she loves science herself. So a number of her plays actually are about different elements of science, different people in the scientific community. So it's very clear how much she loves science in this play. And it's also very clear what a strong female voice she is. Lauren Gunderson is the second most produced playwright in the United States after William Shakespeare. If you'll remember, I've been here on your show before talking about Ibsen. It used to be Ibsen. So a 30-something-year-old woman has dethroned Ibsen as the second most produced playwright in the U.S. And I think with good reason. She is just a very brilliant, creative voice in theater right now, and it's very exciting. So again, the play Silent Sky is fictionalized. I feel that Henrietta's story in the play is a bit of an amalgamation of other female scientists, again, because so little actually exists on Henrietta's life biographically. But it tells the story of a young woman who has difficult choices to make. She has to get her father's permission to go from the Midwest to Massachusetts to take this job. She has to ask for her dowry, which means she is basically telling herself in the world that she won't get married. She will be making a quarter an hour to do this work. As she puts it, it's volunteering. But it's because she has a love not just for this guy, but for science and discovery and study and research in general. So she ends up at the observatory where she works with Wilhelmina Fleming and Annie Jem Cannon. And again, they make these massive discoveries that have changed. The discoveries are legitimate, and they have changed the way we see space in the sky today. There is a love interest that factors in that we don't think is biographical, but it surely is delightful and provides a lot of fun and whimsy for the show as well. But at the end of the day, again, it's a real love letter to science. It's beautiful. And even if you don't get astronomy, even if you don't think that that's your bag, watching other people be passionate about their thing is so inspiring, and it's so creative.
You mentioned, this piece of information. She talks about, working, basically volunteering to do this work, not really being paid. And that is true that, she at first was basically volunteering and paid, and then later returned to Harvard in a paid position. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think that says about the passion she must have felt for this field of science?
Well, it's incredibly obvious to me, having done the research, having spent so much time with Henrietta and the ladies, that they were so driven. They were so driven by what's out there, what the possibilities are out there. She just wasn't able to accept pat answers. And in the play, well, in real life, Henrietta dies very young. She contracts cancer. And so she dies very young. And one of the things she says, she just can't sit still. She can't not know. And then she catches herself and she says, well, I know I'm not going to ever know everything, but I have to keep knowing something. And so it's that drive for discovery, I think, is what is so inspiring.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Henrietta Leavitt, an American astronomer who contributed greatly to the field of science before women were even allowed to vote. She's the focus of a new play at the Commonweal Theater, Silent Sky. We're here with the show's director, Adrian Sweeney. You know, we've talked about the playwright Lauren Gunderson. You know, she is has won several awards, is recognized in the theater community. And one thing I found interesting in kind of reviewing some of her biographical information specifically about this play is that when she was asked about the play's message, she said she felt like that message was that women aren't asking for special treatment, that we are showing how special we are. Always already are and always have been, and we're not asking anyone to let us participate. We are exclaiming that we have participated in discoveries, breakthroughs, and wild achievement all along. That's a quote from the playwright Lauren Gunderson. I mean, that's a very inspiring message, and I feel like it is very relevant to a lot of the conversations that are going on right now about, discrimination based on sex.
Oh, yes. Everything you just said. all capitals, yes. Wow, yeah. The fact is that we are in a place now, and I think for better, it's been a challenging time. It's been a challenging few years as we start to really unknot the place that women take in society. And in my work researching the show, in the actresses' work, working on the show, we have really spent some time focusing on women in science. But look, now we're in science. Like you said, like Lauren said, they've always been there. There was a great article in the Christian Science Monitor that someone sent me after they saw the show. Breaking barriers, it's part of the job for women. And it always has been. Women have always been involved in science, in medicine, in engineering, and all kind of fields, in creativity, in writing, and we're just now at the point where we're saying, we've always been here. We've always been doing these things. This is not new. This is not a fly-by-night thing that's happening. It's just a matter of, hey, yeah, we're here. Let's all just be part of the conversation. Let's all just open the doors. There's an amazing article that I saw in the New York Times about an African-American female scientist. There is a large photo. There has to be 30 scientists in this black and white photo shot in 71, I believe. All men, except for one person. Dead square in the middle, there's a woman, African-American. Half of her face is hidden as she's standing behind a male scientist. And a female researcher, contemporary, was doing research and became somewhat obsessed by this half-shrouded woman. And she set loose on social media to find the identity of this woman who's the only person who is not identified in the photo. And she found the woman. She found this scientist, 71-year-old marine biologist. I believe the woman lives in California. And the woman was so nonplussed. She said, I didn't ever do this to become known. It's just the work that I did. And I think that's what's so interesting. We're not asking for special acknowledgement. We're not asking for special treatment. We're just asking for acknowledgement.
Do you think that, local, state, even nationally, we're doing enough to encourage the next Henrietta Leavitt?
We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, STEM programs are becoming so well known, so well respected, and young women, little girls are being encouraged to develop this part of their brain, this part of their interest base, and And conversely, young men are hopefully being encouraged to explore all of their interests. I have a friend whose young son loves Shopkins, which I don't have children, but I understand that is a stereotypical little girl's toy. And he even says, I don't care, I get made fun of at school, but I think it's fun. So what I'm hoping that we're coming into is an age where kids, children, students are encouraged to follow their interests regardless of their gender and regardless of what that interest might be. STEM programs are out there. They're hopefully accessible to any student who wants to be a part of it. But I do believe that we have to, as the adults, we have to encourage our kids, especially our young women, to follow their passions, to follow their interests, especially if they're not normal. And I'm using air quotes, which of course people can't see. But anything that might be slightly off center. And I certainly wish that the sciences weren't considered such for women, but I think they are. And I think that we could always do a better job encouraging that. We're getting better. We just have to keep going, have to keep moving forward.
Why did the Commonweal want to do this play?
This is a relatively new play, and a friend handed it to me. He had seen it done in the Twin Cities. He said, you have to do this play. And I took it on the plane with me, and when the wheels touched down, I was texting the artistic director, who happens to also be my husband, and I was like, we are doing this play next year, no matter what. It is a play that even reading it gives me goosebumps. It is so visually stunning. It is a... it's just such an empowering play, just reading it. The language is beautiful. It could be read just as a short story. The language is so beautiful. But wow, it's not often you get to do a show with four women, all of whom are so super strong. The characters are so grounded, so real, so smart, so funny, and they play so well together. That's the other thing. I think it's really easy to fall into stereotypes where women are combative or competitive, and that is just in no way the case in this play. There's a fourth woman who is Henrietta's sister, and she is a musician, and she's a highly spiritual person. She teaches Sunday school. Their father is a pastor. And that's another thing that's beautiful about this play is the dualities that are inherent in this play. So the play talks a lot about not just science, but about the juxtapositions of science and faith, science and religion, art and science, music and math. And that is another thing that makes it beautiful. It's not science overall. It's where does everything fit in your particular personal universe?
This is a big year for the Commonweal Theater, right? You're celebrating an anniversary.
Yes, we are. We are celebrating our 30th season in Lanesboro. So April 7th, we opened our 30th season. We're very proud to do so with this show. And it's a great season ahead of us. We're very lucky to be able to produce professional live theater in a town of 700. There are 15 of us who live and work there year-round. We run the theater, and then we have apprentice company and seasonal company members.
Silent Sky is currently being performed at the Commonweal Theater in Lanesboro until June 23rd. What do you hope audiences walk away thinking about?
I hope audiences walk away feeling inspired. In my director's notes in the program, I touched on the passions of all of these people. There's also one male character as well. And I am so energized by the passions of these people. Again, not just science, not just math, but music and art and spirituality and religion. So if I could pick one thing, I hope the show would get people thinking about what are their passions, what inspires them, what gets them out of bed in the morning, what drives them. It might not be your 9-to-5 day job. It might be something you do on the weekends. It might be your extracurricular activity, as it were. But I just hope that people walk away rejuvenated and encouraged to reconnect with their personal passion.
We've been talking with External Relations Director for the Commonweal Theater in Lanesboro and director of the company's current production, Silent Sky, Adrian Sweeney. The show tells the story of Henrietta Leavitt, an American astronomer who contributed greatly to our understanding of the stars before women were welcomed into the field of science. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, including our interview with world-renowned physicist James Gates, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. There you'll also find links to more information on the Commonweal's production. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.